This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Massé with you live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, and until 9 o'clock tonight, as we have been every Tuesday during the offseason, and it will continue through spring training. Phone lines are open at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. The Dodgers held their first full squad workout today. We'll get you informed on all that, but want to let you know coming up in our next segment at 8:15, you'll hear from Dodger closer Kenley Jansen, who faced live hitters for the first time today. Also, too, I thought it was a good opportunity tonight to talk to two young Dodger prospects that we've heard a lot about, one in his second big league camp, the other in his first big league camp, Cody Bellinger and Willie Calhoun. Will join us at the bottom of the hour at 8:30. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. The Dodgers getting ready for their first Cactus League game on Saturday, and you can hear that right here on AM570 LA Sports beginning at 11:30 with Dodgers on deck. First pitch at 12:05, and we do expect Clayton Kershaw to make that start for the Dodgers, because who else would it be? He's going to be the opening day starter for the seventh time in his career, the seventh consecutive opening day start for Kershaw. It seems to be Rich Hill will follow him in the rotation, and then he will be followed by Kenta Maeda. Rich Hill also threw to live hitters as well. We'll let you know how that went later in the show, but I guess the biggest news out of camp today, the first full squad workout, and Dave Roberts addressing the team as a whole for the first time this spring. And even though the Cubs are trying to stay humble out there in Mesa, Arizona, the Dodgers are hungry, and they have a bad taste in their mouth. And Dave Roberts just reiterated and followed through on the message that he's been sending to his players during the offseason. He's been in contact with a lot of players during the winter, and I was actually next to him when we were in Washington, D.C. for the winter meeting, sitting down for a lunch, and all of a sudden his phone rings, and it's Dodger catcher Yasmani Grandal. You can't make that stuff up. You would think he was when he says that he talked to his players during the offseason, but to have a player call his manager for, you know, just to check in and to talk, that doesn't happen, especially with a veteran player like Grandal. So he is not making these things up when you hear him say that that he has kept in touch with his players, and all these guys still have a bad taste in their mouth about the way the season ended last year. And I don't think much motivation is needed for a lot of the guys that were on the team last year. And I think that's what makes it interesting camp, because so many players from last year that were on that NLCS roster are back again. So they know the taste of defeat and don't want to feel it again. And also, too, let's keep in mind the number of players that have been part of the four consecutive NL West championships that have come up short. So there is a little need for Dave Roberts to pound that into them, because I think they feel that themselves already. I mentioned Rich Hill and Kenley Jansen threw the live hitters today. Rich Hill was not too happy with his performance today. He let out a few expletives on field one when he was facing live hitters, frustrated with himself. He did allow a home run to Andrew Tolles, the legend himself, and Rich Hill was not too happy about that. And interesting enough, talking to Rich yesterday about pitching here in Arizona, he started to explain to me about the density of the air here in the desert, and not a lot of people realize that this is a hitter's haven. It's not just about Coors Field. This place is well above sea level and the second highest, major league ballpark that is above sea level. The first, of course, is Coors Field. So he told me that this is not a place that he is going to try to refine his curveball, because you really can't get a great gauge on it. What it does is try to help him get better with his changeup and try to work on things and reinforce things that he does well. And I saw him after he threw to live hitters. He was still thinking about it. I actually saw him by the taco truck right outside the Dodger facility. Yes, a taco truck was out here today, and that is thanks and courtesy of Dodger first baseman Adrian Gonzalez, who has treated the Dodgers and staff over the last few years to tacos here at Dodger Camp in Camelback Ranch. And it was another good day, and I'd like to thank Adrian for providing that type of leadership. And yes, I did have tacos for the first time. I always felt like that was for the players. I did not want to have any because that's for them, not for me. But Adrian insisted to grab some tacos, and the guys that served us, they said cuatro, and I said, hell yeah, give me four, man. I'll take four. Don't have to ask me. I was actually going to ask for only two, but when they say four right away, you got to take four. You don't hesitate. And then Adrian, as always, wanting to challenge me and embarrass me in ways that only I could do, challenged me to eating a hot pepper. And I took a nice bite out of it, and it was spicy, but I can handle spicy things. And you could actually see that on Adrian's Facebook page. He posted a video, a montage video, that included me. So it was a good day here at Dodger Camp for everybody after the first full squad workout. And speaking of Adrian Gonzalez, we touched upon with him and Dave Roberts how that right elbow is feeling. In case you don't know, if you've been under a rock, Adrian Gonzalez has been shut down from swinging a bat or doing much of anything other than weightlifting and running with that tennis elbow in his right elbow. And he will be examined the first week of March, and that's when he will find out whether or not he will be able to participate in the World Baseball Classic for Team Mexico. The way he explained it to us earlier today is if he is cleared by Dr. Eletrosh, there will be no restrictions on how many times he's allowed to swing. They'll just go back into his normal routine. But they have laid out a plan here where it's not just 2 weeks of rest, actually 3 weeks of not picking up a bat. And Dr. Eletrosh, the Dodgers team doctor, told Adrian that 2 weeks should be good, but I'll give you an extra week just to make sure. And if I examine you and you're all good, you'll be able to swing the bat and play for Team Mexico, and there shouldn't be any issues. So the Dodgers orthopedic surgeon, the best out there, Dr. Neil Eletrosh, will be making his presence known the first week of March, and he'll come in with that beautiful hair and that sinister smile. But he does, like I've said many times, Dr. Eletrosh does look like a villain that you would see in a comic book, but he's one of the great guys out there, and also probably the best orthopedic surgeon in the country, and the Dodgers are very lucky to have him. So good news for Adrian Gonzalez that he has a good, outline for what is to come here in the next few weeks leading up to the first week of March before he goes out to the World Baseball Classic with Team Mexico. Also, too, Dave Roberts touched upon the scheduling for Adrian when the regular season starts, and Adrian told us today that he is not going to come out of that lineup willingly. He's not here to watch baseball, in his words. He's here to play baseball. And Dave Roberts can say all he wants about giving Adrian more rest. Don Mattingly used to say that year after year, and here we are, 11 straight years of Adrian playing 156 games. But the way Adrian explained the scheduling and the way Dave Roberts would come to him last year was if the Dodgers had 10 consecutive games, there was a tough lefty or a matchup that Dave Roberts felt would benefit Adrian to take a day off. That's the day they would pick, and he's expecting to do the same things. But GM Farhan Zaidi said today that he does expect to get Adrian more days off this year. And like I've been saying, leading up to getting here to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, is that neck of Adrian Gonzalez. The tennis elbow, I'm not too concerned about, and it doesn't seem like Adrian or Dave Roberts is concerned about. I'm still concerned about the way he's going to manage that neck inflammation that seems to pop up and give him stiffness. And really, I feel, zapped him of his power for the most part of last year, where he had his lowest slugging percentage since 2005. So we'll see how that all that plays out and the tug of war of Adrian wanting to play every day. And I think that speaks to who he is, and a guy that still wants to play every day, still feels he's at the top of his game. I know everybody is itching for Cody Bellinger, but I think when you see Cody Bellinger play in the big leagues for the first time, it will not be on a regular basis at first base. You may see him in the outfield, and Cody will join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick timeout here on Nissan Dodger Talk. When we come back, your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And when we come back also, you'll hear from Dodger closer Kenley Jansen and how the news today surrounding Magic Johnson becoming the president of basketball operations for the Lakers affects his ownership with the Dodgers. So stay where you are. More Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, where the Dodgers held their first full squad workout today. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers, and want to let everybody know that 2017 Dodgers season tickets are available now for a limited time only. You can enjoy exclusive benefits and great savings just starting as low as $13 a game. Or for greater flexibility while enjoying exciting matchups and promotional nights, purchase a mini plan. Visit Dodgers.com/season tickets. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will hear from two Dodger prospects in big league camp, Cody Bellinger in his second big league camp, and Willie Calhoun, the second baseman that can really hit the baseball but is searching for better defense at second base, will join us at the bottom of the hour. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Now, we all know the news today that the Lakers have fired Mitch Kupchak and have removed Jim Buss as part of their basketball operations staff and has put Magic Johnson in charge of basketball operations. And everybody's concerned about how that affects his ownership with the Dodgers. Well, it really doesn't. Magic's a minority owner with the Dodgers. Obviously had a huge impact in being the face of this ownership group when they came and bought this ball club and turned them into a four consecutive NL West champion. And much more has been done. And Magic has been the face of this ownership group in a lot of ways, especially early on. But there are no rules in Major League Baseball or the NBA that says that Magic can't run the Lakers and still hold a minority share of ownership with the Dodgers. Now, if he owned the Lakers and the Dodgers, maybe there might be some conflict of interest. But back in the day when Jack Kent Cook owned the Lakers and Kings, part of the reason why he sold was he had ownership of the Washington Redskins, and he chose to go with the Redskins, and that's when he sold both franchises plus the Forum to Jerry Buss. So right now there is no conflict of interest or any rules that would say Magic has to sell his share of the Dodgers ownership, and he said as much earlier today on Spectrum Sportsnet. He plans on keeping ownership of the Sparks and the Dodgers, but he cannot be involved on a day-to-day basis with either franchise because he is going headfirst into everything the Lakers need from him, being the president of basketball operations. And, I mean, we're not fooling anybody. It's not like Magic had day-to-day input on baseball decisions. He never pretended to do that. He was more of the marketing side of things and would help out ownership with their sponsorships and all of those different things. But he's been a great face for this ownership group and still will continue to be that. But obviously, his love is with the Lakers, and that's how we know Magic Johnson. He's associated with the Lakers, and he's going to be great for that franchise and hopefully bring them back to prominence. I covered the Lakers from 1998 up until doing this job exclusively with the Dodgers in 2012 and got to know Mitch Kupchak, and he's a Laker lifer. I mean, I grew up watching Mitch play for the Lakers in the 80s, and then when he got injured, they gave him a job in the front office to learn from the best in Jerry West, and he helped the Lakers win those back-to-back titles and three straight finals in 08 and 09 with Pau Gasol in 10 when they went back-to-back. So it's not like Mitch Kupchak didn't know what he was doing, but obviously things got a little stale here and maybe a little muddied with Jim Buss's involvement. And hopefully Magic can find a way to dig the Lakers out of this hole. Also, too, I know fans don't know him, and he's not really a public figure, but caught in all of this was a really great guy in John Black, who had been with the Lakers for close to 30 years as their vice president of public relations. And I consider John a friend, and he's a great guy and helped me out and was always in my corner. So, John, your identity has not been lost. You just will find a different job. He's a great guy, and he will land on his feet. So that's where it stands with Magic, the Lakers, and the Dodgers. And I've said as much piece as I can say on a show that's called Dodger Talk. So we'll get into that another time as far as the Lakers go. But a basketball fan that I'm able to voice my opinion with is Kenley Jansen. He's back on board with the Lakers. He was excited when I told him when he came off the field after facing live hitters for the first time in spring training of what happened with the Lakers and how Magic had taken over basketball operation duties. And he was excited and said it's winning time. So here's part of my conversation with Kenley before we found out the news about Magic Johnson taking over the Lakers. I really can't believe that Kenley's talking to me. You know, I thought once, you know, the big money, mo problems, you know, you would stop talking to me. So I really appreciate you with a lot of people around talking to me publicly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you say, more problems, more Vesse, more problems. So you definitely don't want to have that around. So
was that part of the reason why you were considering leaving the Dodgers, because I was going to be back for another year?
No, actually, that's the reason why I come back with the Dodgers, because I like that kind of little problems that I have around to bug me once in a while.
How does this camp feel differently, knowing that this team really wanted you back and they showed it to you?
Man, that's awesome, man. I mean, this is where I wanted to be. I went out and explored the whole free agent market, but knowing in mind that I don't want to leave Dodger Blue, man. I mean, this is where I grew up at as a baseball player since I was 17 years old. You know, this is the team that gave me the second chance of opportunity of life. And, you know, I'll take advantage of it and become one of the great relievers they have. To me, it's nothing better to win a World Series here. It means so much more to me than win it somewhere else. I really want to win a World Series here. We have the team. We have everything around here, so now we just got to put it together to try to win it now.
When you look around this clubhouse, do you feel like this is the most talented group of players you have had in the last 4 years?
Yes, I mean, I feel like not even 4 years, my whole career, I feel like. We have some talented guys around, but we talk about talent and unselfishness. That's the greatest thing about this group. You know, everybody know. It's not like we have roles, but it's just like, you know what we have to do to sacrifice to help the team win. And you can see this in this kind of group, and it's going to the right direction. So this is the best team, I think, you know, compared to last year we have.
When you look back at last year, just 2 wins shy of the World Series and the majority of the players that were part of that team coming back, does that make you guys more hungry knowing how close you were?
Yeah, definitely, man. It sucks to go home. Just feel that pain, even though you were so close. I mean, you was up 2-1 in the series, and then they came back, went and beat us in 3 games. I mean, that hurt. I mean, for me, it hurts, and I take it very personal, even as a game. And, you know, we had a great group of guys, and, you know, that kind of humbled you even more to just make sure you get even better and stronger and try to learn more and try to do everything you can do to help the team win.
when you look back at what you did in the postseason, doing things that you had not done in your career before, does that give you confidence to know that you have that inside of yourself? Can you carry that over with you this year and moving forward?
Yeah, I feel like that kind of, not even confidence, but it kind of like, you know, I never thought I'm going to throw three innings, especially in the playoffs. So it definitely boosts you up a little bit, and it kind of make you, you know, like I say, it kind of make you more even hungry to kind of like, you know, let's get my body even more stronger and stay healthy and know that I'm capable of doing that now. And, you know, that's the fun part of it now. So I know that I can do more than just an inning or two thirds. I can do like three, who knows? So, you know, so that's inside of me now. I'm going to just keep get better at it and hopefully, you know, try to help this team win and win a championship.
All right, Kenley, thanks a lot for taking the time out for me. I know a lot of people are here watching us, so I appreciate you humbling yourself to speak to a guy like me again.
Yes, can I tell you one thing now?
Yeah.
Beat it now. All right.
That was me and Dodger closer Kenley Jansen having fun for another year. I love that guy. He's a big teddy bear and a fierce competitor, and I think he showed a lot of people what he has inside of him when he did what he did in the postseason last year, pitching multiple innings to help the Dodgers try to get to the World Series. And he accomplished one thing. He helped the Dodgers get to the NLCS with what he did in Game 5 of the NLDS, pitching three innings and turning the ball over to Clayton Kershaw, and then also trying to go multiple innings in that final game where the Dodgers were eliminated. He was remarkable, and considering he was on the verge of free agency, he didn't care about the risks that were involved, and I think that only enhanced the way teams looked at him on the open market, that he would be that unselfish. And not only unselfish, he could do it. He succeeded in being a very successful closer in multiple innings, and who knows, maybe we'll see that again this year. But I feel like the Dodgers have a little bit better backup and reinforcements for him in camp to begin spring training than they did a year ago at this time. So we'll see where it ends up at the end of the season, because there's always a chance the Dodgers can add more during the regular season before the trading deadline. And Sergio Romo is part of those, part of the piece that can help Kenley Jansen just stay in that ninth inning. And obviously they're loaded with left-handed relief pitchers, and hopefully Grant Dayton can be who he was during the second half of last year. And maybe, hopefully, Adam Liberatore can get back close to who he was the first half of the season before he got injured. And one thing, too, to remember about Kenley Jansen, he told me repeatedly last year that he never felt like he had his cut fastball working the way that it had in the past. Think about that, how good he was last year, and he never felt that he had his best cut fastball. That's his money pitch. If he didn't have that cut fastball, he would not be pitching in the big leagues, and he wouldn't have $80 million in the bank coming to him. And I asked him whether or not he feels like he has to go back to get that. And he said that he's working with former Dodger pitcher Charlie Huff, the man that actually helped Kenley with his mechanics when he first converted from catcher to pitcher here in spring training, to try to get back on track, to get that muscle memory, as he called it, to get back to feeling the best cut fastball. And that's a very important pitch to him, as you know. If he doesn't have that, he's not that effective. He has the velocity on his fastball, but that's his money pitch to get guys out. And it's the most unique pitch, the way I've been told by baseball people in all of Major League Baseball. So he still did not have his best cut fastball, yet he became the all-time Dodger save leader last year and did what he did in the postseason. So if he gets back to where he wants it to be, it's going to be scary this year for opposing hitters. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Before we take a break, let's go out to the phones, and let's go to San Diego. Paolo, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse live at Camelback Ranch.
Hi, David. How are you, David?
Yes, tutto bene, Paolo. Thank you.
I'm impressed about your improvement in the Italian language. That's great.
I'm trying to get my mom to speak to my kids so they learn it, too.
Listen, what's the situation with Adrian? Is it serious or with the tendonitis on his elbow with Adrian?
Well, yeah, the elbow I don't think is that serious. He was in good spirits today, Paolo, and he doesn't seem too concerned. He feels like if he continues to follow doctor's orders and not pick up a bat and swing the first week of March, he's keeping his fingers crossed that he'll be clear to do all the baseball activities. So he knows how to manage things. He knows, to be honest with you, he's told me in the past that spring training is too long. So it's not like he needs spring training as badly as others do.
Well, now with the World Baseball Classic, so needless to say, he's not going to play for Mexico, right?
Well, if he's cleared the first week of March, he intends on playing.
Okay.
Because if he's cleared to play, that won't – the doctor told him, if you're cleared to play, there are no restrictions. It more than likely will not come back.
Anyway, the worst-case scenario is Bellinger's going to be – they're going to bring him up, or is Ike Davis is going to play it first?
Neither. It would be Chase Utley. Worst case scenario. Ooh. If Adrian Gonzalez cannot play first base at any point in time this season, Chase Utley would face right-handed batters, and I think you would see Scott Van Slyke against lefties.
That's beautiful, man. Listen, thanks a lot, David. We'll see you down the road, and keep up the good work. Okay, David?
All right. Grazie tanto, Paolo. Appreciate that. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it down there in San Diego. And Paolo's got a great restaurant down there in San Diego. And I hope to visit it when we come down there this season, Paolo. Thanks for the phone call. When we do come back on Nissan Dodger Talk, you will hear from the aforementioned Cody Bellinger, the Dodger top prospect at first base in his second big league camp. You'll hear from him and also another top prospect in Willie Calhoun. Plus, your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. David Vasse, live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. Nissan Dodger Talk until 9 o'clock on AM 570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, where the Dodgers held their first full squad workout of spring training. They're getting ready for their first Cactus League game on Saturday. Yes, this Saturday, the Dodgers' first spring training game against the Chicago White Sox right here at Camelback Ranch. And you can hear all the action right here on Dodgers Radio beginning at 11:30 with Dodgers on deck. And first pitch will be at 12:05. Also, too, Sunday, the Dodgers' second game of spring training can be heard on AM 570 LA Sports. Same bat time, same bat channel, 11:30 pregame, 12:05 first pitch. And we want to remind you to visit Dodger Stadium this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to make your 2017 season ticket purchase. Enjoy exclusive benefits and best savings with tickets starting as low as $13 a game. Limited locations available, so don't wait. Buy your season tickets on Saturday at the stadium and enjoy a free visit to the pop-up museum set to close shortly for the season. I think it closes at the end of March, and it's a great museum because it's a lot of Dodger history. It's sort of a takeoff on the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, but it's only Dodger stuff. So you want to get out there, and Saturday is a great day to do it. Also, too, the World Baseball Classic Championship Trophy will be on display at Dodger Stadium on Saturday. You could take a picture with it. So Ronnie Fazio, I want to see that picture of you in that World Baseball Classic Championship Trophy on Saturday. You could just go to Dodgers.com/open house for your tickets. See, Ronnie, I helped you out right there. And if you see Ronnie there taking pictures with the World Baseball Championship Trophy, he'll take a picture with you too. So it's a win-win for everybody. 866-987-2570, pound blue. For our AT&T subscribers, coming up in a moment, you'll hear from Dodger top prospect Cody Bellinger. But let's go back out to the phones. And Burbank, Jack, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I basically only have two. It's not really concerns. It's more like question marks as far as what they've done in the offseason. Okay. Number one, I'm sure I'm not the only one that you know of that didn't like the fact that we had to trade Jose De Leon for Logan Forsythe because, I mean, I was really excited for De Leon, and, you know, he's a right-handed pitcher, and we have a plethora of lefties in our starting rotation. So I'm kind of confused about that because I thought we really could have used them in that starting rotation. And the other concern I have is a few days ago, you know, we signed Franklin Gutierrez, another outfielder, and we got a lot of outfielders in our roster. And the other one more final thing is instead of Forsythe, I wish the Dodgers probably could have made a run at Brandon Phillips because I really like them with Cincinnati. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I want to hear your opinion. Thanks.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate the phone call. Well, you know, I'm not a big Brandon Phillips fan. He's kind of his numbers are deceiving. He's not at the peak performance level as he was maybe a few years ago, the Brandon Phillips we remember with the Reds when Dusty Baker was the manager. He just seems to be on a steady decline. He doesn't have a really high on-base percentage. His batting average is all right, but I'm not sure he's the type of guy that fits this ball club because there's enough guys that are trying to hit home runs. I think Logan Forsythe fills the spot at second base perfectly for what this ball club needs. They need a guy, A, that can hit lefties. He does that. B, a guy that can hit at the top of the order. He fits that. C, he's a guy that isn't swinging for the fences. He's trying to do the little things to help a team win. He's actually a better version of Mark Ellis, who was the Dodgers second baseman when they went to the NLCS in 2013. So I like Logan Forsythe, and I liked Jose De Leon a lot, but from the way the Dodgers used him last year, they basically told us they don't really value him that much. They don't feel like he's going to be a top-end rotation guy the way they evaluated him. They kept him back in spring training. He lost too much weight, lost some fastball velocity, and you didn't see him until September, and which was kind of an alarm bell since the Dodgers did use 15 different starting pitchers last year, and he was not called up until September. So that kind of was an indication of the way the Dodgers felt about Jose De Leon. He's a great kid, and I hope he does great in Tampa Bay and proves the Dodgers wrong. If he does, I still think the Dodgers and the fans are going to be happy with what they see from Logan Forsythe. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to George in L.A. You're on Nissan Dodger Talk. What's up, George?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, George.
Hey, Dave. Good speaking to you, man. Been listening to you for a long time. You know, I just wanted to say it's great to hear all the antics you do with the players, how you give a little insight about them, you know, and how they tease you and you guys go back and forth. That's great to hear, man, because, you know, we don't get to see that side of the players. So when you talk about that, it's great, man.
I kind of get myself in trouble doing that, George. I always feel, you know, if you ever remember that movie, Back to the Future, I always feel like Michael J. Fox. When they challenge me, I just can't say no. I feel like they're telling me I'm yellow or something. I have to come back at them.
Hey, I love it, man. You know what? All us callers just wish and dream we could be in that situation, man, that you go back and forth with these guys, man. You know, we just see these guys on TV, and they're just, you know, just we're just in awe with these guys. But, hey, man, good stuff. And a couple things I got. As far as the rotation, who do you see being that third, fourth, fifth guy? As far as Ryu, how's he looking? Because the other guys are just a bunch of question marks. And another thing, too, I'll let you go, the back end of the bullpen, the setup, the bridge to Kenley Jansen, that seems to kind of be the big question mark with us this year. Thanks, Dave, and good speaking to you.
Oh, thanks for the phone call, George. Appreciate it. Hope you check back in during the season and throughout spring training. And, you know, Hyunjin Ryu is actually on the mound, feeling good, pain-free. And Dave Roberts told us yesterday that he was very encouraged from what he saw when he saw Ryu pitch to live hitters a couple of days ago. So it'll be a work in progress, just building blocks off of one building block. And we'll see whether or not he's ready to go at the end of camp. And who's the best pitcher for those last two spots, especially if Julio Urias is held back for extended spring training? That will open up another spot. So you got guys like Brandon McCarthy, Alex Wood, Scott Kazmir, Hyunjin Ryu, all of them, and Ross Stripling, all fighting for those final two spots. And unfortunately for the younger guys that do have options, the veterans have the edge because you want to try to keep as much depth as you saw the Dodgers use last year as you can. So they're not going to just cut a guy because they don't have room. They're going to play the options game. And like I said last night, it's going to be some hurt feelings for some guys, but it's not because they're not good enough to pitch in the big leagues or play in the big leagues. It's just a numbers crunch at this point in time, and it doesn't mean they're not going to be seen in the big leagues this year. I think if you watched the Dodgers last year, you realize that it's not just a 25-man roster that you use. You're going to use at least 40 guys, hopefully not 55 like they used last year. And as far as the bullpen goes, George, I feel like the Dodgers have more options in camp this year than they've had since probably 2013, if that. Having Sergio Romo in camp, I think, is a huge boost because he's a guy that can really help the younger guys and also is effective and not scared of the big moments. So I think the Dodgers are in a good spot, and I think it's between him, Josh Fields, Josh Raven that are going to fight for those outs from the right side late in games. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, my good friend, what's up?
What is up, DB, the Count of Camelback? Also, I've got to give a shout-out to the chairman of the board, Ronnie Fazio. Hey, you guys do an excellent job every day, like that last caller was saying. The insight that you provide is unparalleled. So that's a big kudos to you, sir. Now, I just want to say I love what the management's doing. Like you said, we saw the depth really kept the Dodgers afloat last year, and it seems like that's what it is these days, just like a marathon obstacle course, and the best team to the end is the one that gets away with it. But with Seager, and when you got Gonzo and you got JT, I mean, that's a good nucleus to start, and then you just got the moving parts around it. So, hey, I'm anxious for this season. I really think this is the year. Go Dodgers!
All right, Manuel. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Want to share my conversation with top Dodger prospect Cody Bellinger. He's ready for prime time and has a great outlook and is still very humble. We had a chance to talk about his season last year and where he wants to go this year.
Yeah, I know. It's easy in this clubhouse and the manager. They make me feel a part of the team, like I've been a part of the team for 5 years, even though, you know, I'm still young. And but yeah, you know, second time going around, I kind of know what to expect, and I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think you're going to be hazed as much as you were last year?
We'll see today. I think first team meeting today, so I have no idea what they have in store, if they have anything, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and how's the Twitter following go? Because I know last year that was the theme of camp.
Yeah, I think I'm just under 10K right now. Instagram is up there a little bit, but I don't know if they'll start it up again. We'll see.
Man. Hey, I told Jock I could get him to 100,000 followers. That happened a couple of days ago. So if you want to give the Twitter handle out right now, maybe we could get you over 11K by the end of camp.
Yeah, it's Cody_Ballinger.
How was your season last year? I mean, you were able to go from AA to AAA and be reunited with your single-A manager, Bill Hausselman. How was all of that for you?
Yeah, it was a great year. Obviously, I didn't start off how I wanted to with the injury. With the hip impingement, but that's all healthy now, and have had no setbacks. And you know, playing with Hass, he's one of my favorite managers, and he knows the game, and he's played the game, and you know, he's a smart man, and he knows how to work you. And so it was a great time.
I spoke to him during the off season, and he said he could see the improvement from when he had you with the Quakes to where you were in September. What was the biggest adjustment for you between that period of time?
You know, for me, I put on from Rancho to Tulsa last year. I put on 20 pounds. And that was the biggest thing for me. You know, I didn't have to use my whole – I think that's why my strikeout rate was so high in Rancho, because I had to use my whole swing, my whole body in order to hit the ball. And, you know, last year and this year I can use more hands, and that's why the strikeouts have gone down. It's only helped me. And then little adjustments to my hands and my swing, and that's all it is.
Do you change the bat size when you start to feel that way, or did you keep the same bat size when you first started to where you are right now?
I changed the same bat size, but I have the same same bat size, different model, yeah.
Okay. What are you using now, Louisville Slugger, Mizuno? Yeah,
Louisville, but 243. It's kind of a bigger barrel, so I can kind of feel the head, and that's what I like in the bat.
When you went from AA to AAA last year, could you tell the difference in pitching and competition? What I've heard so many different things about the difference between AA and AAA, and sometimes it's a little bit better at AA than it is at AAA.
AA was tough. You know, in our league, we only had eight teams, so you kept seeing the same pitchers over and over. And honestly, I didn't see a big jump from AA to AAA. Our first series, you know, I mean, the stadiums are nicer, and you know, you fly on airplanes, so it's a little nicer, not on these long bus rides. But no, I really honestly didn't see that much of a difference.
I heard that you had some time in the outfield too last year. How did that go? Because what we saw last year in camp was amazing with what you did defensively at first base. How has that been able to get acclimated in the outfield?
I played outfield my whole life. So I started playing first base my junior year of high school. Okay. And that kind of came natural. So when they told me to play outfield last year or 2 years ago in Rancho, I was all for it. It was kind of like riding a bike. And you know, I feel like I can play out there right now, and I feel comfortable out there.
That's amazing, because the way you played first base, mm-hmm. it felt like that was your position since you were first given a glove.
Yeah, I grew a lot of inches from my sophomore to junior year high school, and I came kind of unathletic and lanky, so they put me over at first base, and it just kind of came natural to me, I guess.
I heard center field, too. If they put you out there in center, you feel like you could handle that, too.
Yeah, a little bit. I got some sneaky speed, I guess. But yeah, I'm comfortable playing all three outfield positions. I think that's a huge, you know, benefit to me.
When you have a guy like Willie Calhoun in his first big league camp, what do you think's the best piece of advice you could give him and Alex Verdugo to try to maximize the amount of time here?
You know, I said come out and, you know, be aggressive and show him what you can do, but also, you know, don't be that guy in the clubhouse, you know, kind of lay low. And mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, just be respectful to all the guys. You know, you have a lot of guys in here that have a lot of big league time. And, I mean, it's you look around, it's pretty crazy. And, you know, I just told them to lay low, and everybody in here is awesome. They're going to treat you well if you treat them well.
Yeah, maybe get more followers and all that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, when you break camp here, obviously the goal is always to make it to the big leagues. Do you treat this season any differently than you did maybe a year ago, another year closer, hopefully, to your goal?
Yeah, it's another year closer. I mean, it's everything's out of my control. I'm going to come out every day and show them what I can do here, and, you know, we're going to see. Like I said, everything's out of my control, and I can't, you never know.
Are you excited to be reunited for a full season with Bill Hasselman? He seems like a guy that people enjoy playing for and know they could trust.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Like I said, he's super knowledgeable. He's played the game. He knows how to, you know, treat the players, treat the staff, and they have a good staff up in AAA. I'm really excited if I end up going there.
Cody, good to see you again, and hopefully see you more in camp in those games.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And that was Dodger top prospect Cody Bellinger, great kid and a guy that's put on 20 pounds, like he said, over the last year or so, and he is going to be a good one. And defensively, there's no question about it at first base, and to hear him say how confident he is to play the outfield only enhances his chances of getting his major league debut this season with Adrian Gonzalez anchored at first base. That's a good thing for Cody to learn how to do that. If you missed any of the show tonight, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. You could podcast Kenley Jansen if you missed him, and if you missed any part of that interview with Cody Bellinger, you could do the same, and we'll share my interview with the other top prospect for the Dodgers, Willie Calhoun, tomorrow night. We'll be back with you at 7 o'clock. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help tonight. Thanks to you for listening. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night from Camelback Ranch. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.